Thank you, Brother Sammy. Again, thank you for trusting me with the ministry. The Lord holds you accountable and responsible. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for your attentiveness. Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Between the power of the law to deliver and produce, it cannot. It condemns, and when yielded to, it kills. The law came and slew me, and I died. There's a distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh, that's normal, natural, out of us. I said, well, that's a sick list there. It shows the depravity of man.
Yes.
Now, when Brother Sammy teaches you people that a Bible truth is the total depravity of man, he does not mean that people are being as bad as they can be, but the potential's there.
Right.
Some people are just not as bad as they want to be. One reason, they're cowards. They just won't step up and get their nose skinned trying to be what they want to be. And some people are just smarter than others. They'll get something started and then back up and let the other people get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But those works of the flesh, we have not addressed any of those. They just can be observed. It's like the good morning news. And a lot of those things we read there are in church life.
Yes.
Sad but true. Mm-hmm. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that we're considering is the seeable, usable, to be plucked and used and enjoyed, result of the Holy Spirit within us. It's that which the Holy Spirit produces. First, to glorify God in us, and then to minister to others through us. Follow along, and I'll begin reading this time in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Considering the fruit of the Spirit, we'll look briefly at the fruit of joy. The word joy is found 165 times in the Bible. Now, ladies, the first mention is the women came singing and dancing with joy. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Many scriptures deals with and are concerning the joy that Christ has for us and in us. And in a different message, preaching concerning the joy of the Lord is our strength. I maintain that it's His joy in us and for us, mm-hmm. rather than our joy for Him, because that's fickle and feeble and like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But His joy that He has in us is constant and abiding and eternal and effectual. The joy that we have in the love of God, we just gave a brief presentation of our love, and that controlled by God's love. It is controlled and connected, covered, constrained by the love of God. Remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit now. Joy. Joy that God will keep His covenant that He made with Himself. Remember, Brother Samuel was preaching at a place in Georgetown, I think, you're talking about when God made His covenant. And Abraham couldn't stay awake long enough to keep the buzzards off the sacrifice. This God's eternal covenant.
Yes.
What a great joy when we began to embrace that wonderful truth. God is a covenant-keeping God.
Amen.
He made the covenant with Himself. Boy, what a great joy springs out of our bosom. It's humiliating, I'll bear record. It is humiliating. But what a great joy begins to flood our soul when we see He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
We have access, Brother Uspring. We have access. Mm-hmm. We accepted. We have access.
Right.
With confidence. What a great joy.
Amen.
That's what this world's clamoring for.
Mm-hmm.
people spend their substance for.
Right.
That God will keep His covenant that He made with Himself. Secondly, this joy in the love of God is this. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How?
Mm-hmm.
All encompassing is that verse. His joy in us, and our joy made full. Because of that, the joy. Not only joy in the love of God, joy in the forgiveness of sin. Can you imagine? Can your little peanut brain comprehend this? Full atonement. Sins paid for. Never to be remembered. That's the new covenant. What a great joy floods our whole soul, our entire being, when we begin to see God does not keep a record of our sins to hold them against us. What could spring out of that other than adoration and thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
What a great joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Nothing we can produce anyway. All this hoopla and hallelujah and all that that's going on, it's not the joy of the Holy Ghost. Jill and I was in a meeting, and boy, they had something going on. I mean, they were clapping God down and all kinds of nonsense. And the lady, the chief, devout lady, Bell Cow in Arkansas, we call her, you know, the one in charge, she was slaying people in the Spirit. I'm making a reference to the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and not just fleshly nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you couldn't hardly hear yourself thinking there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a string band with all the other kind of horns blowing and things a-tooting. And people are jiggling and showing their perfections and imperfections. And I could, of course, the lady said, about the people falling, ooh, making little funny barks and just falling. You could tell where she's going, but it got quiet. And she was back in this area. And I turned around, she was headed toward my wife with her hand up. So I just caught her in the forehead and rebuked her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what happened to the joy? It got funeral home quiet, brother. And Ledress said, well, the Spirit has been quenched.
Mm-hmm.
Before we conclude our services, we'll take up an offering. I was telling on myself for getting involved in that kind of situation. But that's not joy.
No.
Listen, people, don't joke yourself. Don't let that crowd abuse you and take away your joy in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And your joy in forgiveness of our sin. Full atonement. Joy in the fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine a mortal communion with God Almighty? What a great joy that we, in a instant, brother, in a moment, in a time of need or a time of thanksgiving, maybe someone has stopped in the front of you and we're pulling a 35-foot travel trailer and they just pull out there and decide that's as far as they're going to go and the traffic's coming. What do you do? Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
They see you in the mirror and decide to go on. What do you do there? Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating with the great God of heaven and earth.
Right.
The sovereign God of the universe.
Amen.
What a great joy that we can just communicate with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with Him. You mean He hears us?
Yes.
That's one of the contributions the blind fellow has in John chapter 9. He's the teaching the clergy. Yeah, God hears this man.
Right.
Now listen to him, brother, sister. This thing about communicating with God. Let me draw on your memory as a brand new Christian. No one had to give you a class in praying. You just believe God heard you.
Right.
You just believed it. You start talking to Him. What a great joy. Don't let that cool off too much. Joy not in only in fellowship and communion with our Father, supping with our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Personal, intimate, daily communion with Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now add to that, fellowship with the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet. I'm telling you. Now this fellowship with men of like mind and spirit and their wives and children is sweet.
Yes.
Now, brother, we're still in mortal flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It put us in heaven out of this mortal flesh. And the fellowship is going to be something. There in the presence of our Lord, God answering his son's prayer in John 17, we behold him in his glory. No wonder we're going to have another body. This one blow out. The old prophet talking about the eyeballs melting out. It had sure happened. Yes. Thank God for a new body to worship in. But now, fellowship with other believers. Listen, people, that's what this world gives for.
Yeah.
Fellowship and camaraderie and communion with fellow human beings. And it's outside of us, hallelujah. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I can come in here this morning feeling pretty bad. Had my last dip of snuff late yesterday and hadn't had a dip since. And I can come in here in the joy of the saints and the fellowship of the saints, the worship, prayer of the saints, and the ministering of the Word of God. I'm feeling pretty good now.
Amen.
See, it was not of you. It's of the Spirit. Joy. Joy in the service of our Lord.
Yes.
1 John 5:3. Keeping His commandments are not grievous. And brother, it's a great joy that comes when we serve God. When we see that our service is in line with the Word of God, moved and motivated by the Holy Spirit, and we serve God. It's quite a great joy to know that He is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love.
Right.
Let me just remind you of one. I got to get on. A woman brought the last that she had, the widow's mite, it's called. And she puts it in her treasury that they have no scripture for. It's synagogue worship. Not temple worship. They have no scripture for it. It sprung up in the Babylonian captivity on the way home or immediately on their arrival to Jerusalem. They launched out on synagogue worship. No scripture. Bunch of hypocrites running it. And she gives all she has to it. Now, before the Lord opened that little portion of scripture up to me, I'd have got in front of her, between her and that money box, and I'd have said, "Sister, don't put your money in there. Look at that bunch of hypocrites stroking their chin over there. Don't give it." Not only does the Lord not rebuke her, He recommends her.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing. I'm making a point. Great joy in this, that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
May be questionable to some people. But God takes a notice and takes a record.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a great joy.
Amen.
And it does not grieve us to obey God. It grieves us when we disobey. Joy in the hope of being with our Lord. Let's keep thinking. Great joy. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now remember, this is not of ourselves. Peace. My peace give I unto thee. Not the peace that the world gives. My peace give I unto thee. So it's not yours. It's His. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's given to you. Listen, it's not of our flesh. Now, we can feel pretty good this morning. The car started, and things worked pretty well, and we didn't have a cuss fight before we got over here. And just because we come over here and got in this building, we're more spiritual people anyway, you know. That just adds us some kind of influence, and God just adores us for showing up. No, you're the same griping grumbler you was when you left the house, unless you repented of it. I'm telling, I'm making a point. This peace is not of us.
Right.
It's a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, you can't produce it. Cannot be produced. It comes as the fruit of the Spirit. It's through Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. The child is born, the Son is given. The Prince of Peace is one of His name titles. It comes. It comes in times we need it. For Isaiah 38:17, "For peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." What a peace.
Amen.
Peace with God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. It comes through the Prince of Peace. That's part of our gospel message. Listen, that's not just Xmas time. I said Xmas on purpose. Most of that is Xmas anyway. X Christ out. And called it Christ Mass long, long years ago. And the church is not commanded to celebrate that time. But if we're going to do anything there, let us present the gospel of baby in a hay box anymore, people.
No.
It's not a corpse hanging on a tree anymore. No. It's exalted above everyone else.
Yes.
God give him a name. What a peace. God will make peace with you this morning on his terms.
Mm-hmm.
I preached at a university campus one time and took a custom. I never have liked people talking ugly to me. I still don't like it. But I stood there and took it because the Prince of Peace gives peace
mm-hmm.
on his terms,
mm-hmm.
not yours.
Yeah.
Don't think you can make peace with God on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. Down in there you know it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at peace with God because you have not laid down those arms of rebellion. The brethren and I, the Air Force brethren, talking about the reason there's no peace in the Middle East and other parts of the world, but especially there, is the arms of rebellion are not laid down. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now many times when Christ was here on earth, he said to his followers, peace
mm-hmm.
unto you. I hope you can hear it this morning.
Yes.
From the power of the Spirit whispering to your soul. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. Oh, what a great need in this goofball, crazy, insanely religious generation. Strung up tighter than a little string on a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Tighter than an 8-day clock. And just strung out.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How's that made possible? Galatians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Peace with God. Peace with others. Have Mark 9:50. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3. As much as is possible in you, live peaceably with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can talk about that later if you'd like. Especially you military fellas. Ephesians 6:5 is part of our witness. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God rule. I'm not trying to improve nor change the Bible, but we would probably say referee.
Mm-hmm.
Let the peace of God referee in your life.
Right.
You know when the whistle blows.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you do something that disturbs the peace with God. Let that rule in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Be at peace with God. You're called into that
mm-hmm.
in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
for sure. There's a progression into that peace, and I'd like you to flip a page or two there to Philippians chapter 4. The progression is from the peace of God to the peace to the God of peace. While you're turning there, I just mentioned Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Philippians chapter 4. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You know, it's an amazing thing how often we human beings have to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, no, we don't. None of us like that kind of thing. I don't like to get a like we call it, done over narcissists. I don't like to get her done in the mail, especially if I done faded. Insulting my intelligence. But here it comes. Rejoice. And again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I say, avoid extremes, good ones and bad ones. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace. shall be with you. Mm-hmm. Did you see the progression? Rejoice, be moderate, pray about everything. Don't be over anxious about your part. And the peace of God shall rule your hearts and minds. I call that God's mental health program. Mm-hmm. Works.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Think. That's where we mess ourselves up. Think. Now here I'm, a temptation is going present. Maybe it's something from times past, or maybe it's something very present. Temptation, right here. Very, very much a temptation. What am I going to do? What are you going to think about? I know what I think about. I think about the last scripture that I committed to memory, right? Well, I think about the last message Brother Sammy preached that really was for me. I think about my favorite verse. Well, I'm trying to think here.
Yeah.
Thinking on good things here. I tell you what I do. I'm getting the black all the way through. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Here comes victory. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. What's that? I've caught the sound of joyful saints on higher ground. Hallelujah. And there it is. What you've seen and heard and learned.
Right.
Do it. Mm-hmm. What an example we have before us from some of these godly old saints that have weathered the storm.
Right.
We think we're so much better than them. Don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
They weathered storms you probably won't ever have to face.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens? The God of peace. It's a progression now. Instead of the great sovereign God in control and ruling and everything, He's my God with me.
Mm-hmm.
In this very present
yes.
distress. Peace.
Amen.
The progression into peace. There's a feller coming riding on a red horse, and power is given unto him. Him that set on him, and this is what? He takes peace from the inhabitants of the earth. Boy, he's done such a wonderful job at that. Don't let him get yours. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, we look now at the fruit of long suffering. This long suffering is not from nor of us. Again, let me say to you, not by the law, we condemn by the law. Not by our flesh, we become puffed up by what we know. This fruit is of and from our Lord by His Spirit. The fruit of long-suffering. 17 times in the Bible and 4 times in the Old Testament all refer to the long-suffering of God. Exodus 34:6. God declares Himself long-suffering. Numbers 14:18. Moses quotes God to God. You long-suffering. And it works for him. According as thou hast spoken, the Lord is long-suffering. In Psalm 86:15, David quotes God to God. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of mercy, long suffering. Jeremiah 15:15, Jeremiah pleads with God. Take me not away in thy long suffering. In my country boy definition, let me say it to you like this. It takes a long time to stir up God's hot breath. And it can be done.
Yes.
But God is so long-suffering. Not willing that any of us should perish.
Right.
Those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
What a long-suffering and merciful God. That probably accounts for the reason you're here this morning and not dead already.
That's right.
God is so long-suffering. Mm-hmm. He is. In the New Testament, 6 times it refers to our Lord. But I'm speaking of long-suffering now. It is a characteristic by which the true Christian is proven. 2 Corinthians 6:6. In all things, approving ourselves by long suffering. It is the characteristic by which a true Christian is proven. Ephesians 4:2. Walk worthy. How we show ourselves worthy with all lowliness and meekness with long suffering. Let me say it like this in my country boy vernacular. It takes a long time to stir up and invade the saints' fortress of long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They can be done. But the saints are very long-suffering.
Yes.
They'll just put up with and tolerate a lot. Kind of like a honeybee. Do you know you have to start the fight with a honeybee? They buzz you, chicken you out. If you'll just get on out of the trail, don't fight with them. You're all right. But if you start the fight, I will a little bit of an authority on it. I used to keep bees for quite some time. Mm. It takes a long time to stir up God's hot breath. It takes a long time to invade the saints. Fort of long suffering. Next, the fruit of gentleness. Did you see it there? We're reading in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. It's four times in the Bible, two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament. Both Old Testament passages refer to the Lord. It goes like this. And David is speaking to God and he says, "And thy gentleness hath made me great." And David knows that God has been so gentle to that man. Both times in the Old Testament. His definition means to take heed, to pay attention. It comes with the idea of looking down. Okay, listen to me. All this week, the Lord's been looking down on you. And that's what David is declaring. In the New Testament, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But it's also one of the marks or attributes that we can call on and plead with the saints. 1 Corinthians 10:1, "I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Well, how can we be otherwise following Him? The fruit of the Spirit. It's usefulness. It's moral excellence in character. Is the primary meaning of the word. The primary word we get the word is charis. We get the word charisma from. Look them over. See if this is one of their character traits. Yeah? I have had them get so mad. I'm talking about the charismatics now. Falsely so-called charismatics. Well, I have had them get so mad at me, some of my own family, when I say to them concerning speaking in tongues, "Let the women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak." And all of a sudden, the attribute of gentleness is nowhere in sight. No, they become militant. Not just the girls either, but some of the fellas. It's very interesting that this is a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. As we take heed, that is, pay attention to the Holy Spirit, pay attention to people, and be gentle, it's amazing how God enlarges our ministry. Mm-hmm. You say, "Brother John, people will take advantage of you." Yeah. That's what Christianity is about. Mm-hmm. Why did God let Cain slay Abel? You military fellows, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't do that this morning. But God did. God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. And this gentleman. Speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, we go on with goodness. It's 48 times in the Bible. 39 in the Old Testament, 9 in the New Testament. Its definition is to furnish what is needed. To be employed by. By implication, it means useful in manner. Or morals. Now listen to how important this is. When Moses would see the glory of God, Exodus 33:19, God said, "Moses desires to see God, and God declares himself, I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Speaking of the fruit of the Spirit concerning goodness, hey, look back. Now forgetting those things which are behind the sins and all that, corruption and foolishness. But look back at Caleb. You know the song comes from Psalm 23. You know it? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Goodness. What a great thing to know. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find it. Where does this come from? Well, Sam, I think you're a good preacher, brother.
fruit of the Spirit. That's what it is.
Right.
You're just able enough to get puffed up as the next scholarly man. Matter of fact, that's the fellow usually. Well, let me get on with this.
Yeah.
We have this fruit. As we walk it, we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Can we see the good, useful people that God has used to be good to us? Goodness, the fruit of the Spirit. People furnish what folks in this evil generation need. The goodness of God lived out in the life of the believer. The fruit of faith. 247 times in the Bible is pretty significant, isn't it? Only two in the Old Testament, 245 in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, both bases are covered concerning the use of the word faith. Deuteronomy 32:20, children in whom is no faith. Now back at 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. Both sides are covered there. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it's persuasion. We're talking about faith now. That is credence or conviction of religious truth, the trustfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ. And Strong adds a practical part, the constancy in such profession. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about faith. That folks can see and partake of in our life as we live. Faith in our faithful God in every situation, somebody sees.
Right.
Somebody notices. And it's been said to me many times, a hard, professional, seasoned sinners, I saw people living it and couldn't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrite preachers, hypocrite women, devout and honorable women causing trouble in the church. Kids raised right, going wrong, living like there's no God, no judgment. But once in a while, God brings a faithful saint across a person's path, and they take a notice. It's fruit.
Yeah.
It's a fruit to be partaken of. The fruit of meekness. It's 14 times in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament, 12 in the New Testament. By definition, now by implication and by extension, it means gentle, mild, humble, humility. Hence, the old translators put it, meekness. I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Meekness is definitely not a weakness. As we live before others in this gentle, mild, humble, meek manner, people will partake of this fruit and be blessed. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. These are qualities, or fruit of the Spirit, therefore, they are not of our natural man. Again, let me urge this upon you. Can you see our need to not quench and not grieve God's Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Since this is not of us. It's definitely not of us. Can't be. And then lastly, the fruit of temperance. Look at our text. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit is not a natural quality of our flesh. It cannot be produced by the keeping of the law or by perfecting our flesh. The fruit of temperance. It's four times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. By definition, it's control, restraint in temperance. Strong in a thing, translated by Brother Strong. Temperance is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we can see why the translators used that word temperance instead of self-control, self-restraint, as some falsely so-called, clearer, more accurate translations put it. It's not of self.
Right.
It's not self-restraint. It's not self-control. It's the power of the Holy Spirit producing this fruit of temperance in the life of the believer. It's part of our witness, Acts 24:25. Paul, before Felix, reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance. Sometimes it's a part of our gospel witness. It is definitely a part of our maturity. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. For if you do these things, if they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, ours is just to yield to the Spirit. It comes.
It's not a forced situation. We yield to the Spirit of God. And what comes out of that is the fruit of temperance. I could go back and drag up a little bit about trying to keep up with the Burnses, but I'll just leave that alone. And I could bring up again about not just young couples, but old couples selling themselves into slavery in our nation through the credit system. But I'm going to refrain from bringing that up and slanging it out at you again, but I'm talking about being temperate. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In contrast to the works of the flesh, we have the fruit of the Spirit as is evidence. We have the liberty of the Holy Spirit. We have the law of the Spirit. We have the perfect law of liberty. And indeed, verse 13:14, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It comes to us and shows us. This is the life of Christ. Verse 15, we have a new life in Christ. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. In some places, I'd go ahead and preach this for about 30 minutes. Because the mark of that church is they eat up their own testimony, biting on one another, devouring one another, consuming one another, not temperate. Not temperate. This new life in Christ constrains us to love and keeps us from biting on one another. Verse 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Causes us to walk in the Spirit and not control by our flesh. It's part, my brother and sister, it is part of the trauma of our conversion to what? Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. It's part of the trauma of our conversion. Now what's that? Dying to yourself. I'm going to give you the first time it's mentioned about the cross. It chronologically arranged, and it's in the negative. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after Christ cannot be his disciple. So you see where we're at? Mm-hmm. Listen, the beauty of this is you don't have to reach back down in your unable self and come up with it. Mm-hmm. It's a fruit that springs out, sprouts out. Born forth because of the Holy Spirit yielded to within us. Christ is our example. We testify that. We must bear record. We are the light of Christ in this crooked and perverse generation. And I close with this in 1 Peter chapter 4. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be the praise and the honor and the glory is due him, none of us do.
Amen.
And I hope this brief has been a blessing to you. Unless you see the potential of being one of Christ's followers in this goofy, religiously sick, insanely religious generation. With the hair pushed back in the hand, I say, come on, devil, stamp me. Mm-hmm. God puts his stamp on his children.
Yes.
And out comes this life of Christ.
Amen.
The devil fights it regularly. Mm-hmm. But hey, let's be like little David of old. Hey, the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
God never called on me to come up with it anyway. Mm-hmm. Called me into this fellowship, granting me repentance unto life, pouring his Spirit out within me. And my part, just yield. Confess I can't do it. Outside and beyond me, and receive it from God by faith. Pastor.